on the defense of this, or I guess on the attack on Democrats on this threat to democracy stuff, is that, for instance, Trump has not committed to accepting the results of the election, right? That sounds to me like a threat to democracy, and I don't think it's that unfair to question someone's commitment to democracy if they're saying that they, you know, can't commit to the results of the election. Another one is a lot of defenders of the former president have latched on this dictator concept that Kamala Harris said that Trump might be a dictator. He said those words himself. He might have been joking, but he said, I will be a dictator on day one. And I guess I'm struggling with this idea that echoing those points is somehow putting chum in the water.
Well, CNN, their contributor, Elliot Williams, says it's not unfair to say that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. He has been shot at twice, but yes, let's please continue to call him a threat. Let's get DeRoy Murdoch, our friend on here, nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor. DeRoy, we always talk about what's going to happen between the times that we get to speak to one another and we have a second attempt on Donald Trump's life. What are your thoughts and reactions after you heard that that had happened a second time?
Annie, good to talk to you again. Yeah, just unbelievable. I mean, every day it's something else. Every week it's something else. And thankfully, Donald J. Trump survived a second assassination attempt against himself in, what, 6 weeks, something like that? Unbelievable. And boy, thank God for that Secret Service agent who was able to pick out a gun muzzle, at, I assume, a long distance amid a bunch of bushes. I mean, that's, you know, if he'd been distracted or maybe didn't have such good vision, we could be talking about a state funeral underway. Absolutely horrifying. And, you know, I wonder why this keeps happening over and over. Is this just incompetence on the part of the management of the Secret Service, never mind the heroism of those immediately around Trump who threw themselves on him and got between him and any potential bullets? But photographers know that particular part of that golf course, you can sit there and take pictures. Why was there not a Secret Service agent there, at least at the point where Trump was about to come by and make sure nobody sat there with any ulterior motives? This gunman, Ruth Routh, however you say his name, was sitting there apparently for about 11 and a half, 12 hours. Did he get some inside information saying that Trump was going to play golf the next day at 1:30? Apparently that was a kind of an unpublicized inside information kind of thing. So how do you know about that? So it's just horrifying. And I just hope that the cat of nine lives has seven more lives to go.
You know, DeRoy, what do you make of that information? It's a very damning piece of evidence that the shooter was there so much earlier than President Trump was in an off-the-record movement. I mean, there are only a few ways that that can be explained, and I'm wondering what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, it could be that he just happened to be lying in wait thinking, gee, I hope it's a sunny Sunday and Trump happens to come by, and if he does, I'm here waiting for him. You know, let's hope that's the case. If that's not the case, then the question is somebody on the inside either providing information loosely all over the place and this guy picked it up, or even worse of all, if somebody said, Mr. Ruth, Trump is going to be playing golf tomorrow after about, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, you know where to go. Sit there and wait for him to come around. And if that's the case, we're dealing with something really, truly, deeply nefarious.
You know, what do you make of the way people are talking about this event after the second time? There's no reason, especially if I'm Donald Trump's daughter or wife or whatever it is, I'm not thinking that time two is the last of it at all. And I don't, after the fact, all we see is people talking about who's to blame about creating a culture where we talk about one another in such in vitriolic ways. And people are talking about Donald Trump as if, you know, I've said this on the air, many people have said this as well, that if you have a rape victim and you say that her skirt was too short or she was asking for it, that's like one of the most reprehensible things that you can do. But in theory, that's exactly what they're saying about this man.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically saying, look, you know, if you don't want to get raped, why are you wearing high heels and, you know, bright red lipstick?
Yes.
You know, don't do that if you want to get, yeah, same concept. You know, if you don't want to get shot, you know, keep your mouth shut. Unbelievable. And look, these, it'd be a lot easier to be lectured by these people if they were not out there saying things like Rick Wilson, the head or one of the big guys in Lincoln Project, who's a big anti-Trump guy, referring to the donor class. He said they're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact. You've got Johnny Depp, actor. He said, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president? An actress here in New York, Carol Cook is her name. She said, where's John Wilkes Booth when you need him? Madonna, I thought a lot, an awful lot about blowing up the White House when the day after Trump got inaugurated. So they always say, oh, Trump started this, and he's using the political rhetoric. Whoopi Goldberg was on TV yesterday saying, oh, one side's doing it, it's not us. No, no, Whoopi, it is people on the left who are getting up and saying things like Joe Biden himself. I said, if I were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. You know, this is violent rhetoric. This isn't, we disagree with his views, or we don't like his tax cut, or gee, we wish he'd spend more money on the poor, what have you. No, no, this is goes beyond, you know, we don't like his hair or his face is too orange. This is beat the guy up, punch him in the face, shoot him. And it's the left saying that about him. And then you call him Hitler. You say he's the biggest threat to democracy. If he gets elected, that'll be the last election in America. And you say this sort of thing over and over. And at some point, somebody who's got a loose microchip in the head says, well, I'm going to be a hero, get a gun and you know, kill the American Hitler before he can come back to power. And this seems like these people, either they are totally reckless and they can't watch themselves, or they deliberately are saying this kind of thing, hoping that somebody somewhere will have that switch in the head, flip the wrong way, and decided to take it on himself to put an end to Donald J. Trump's life.
Yeah. I mean,
horrifying behavior.
The stakes are really high. I saw Chris Cuomo on his show talking about how reprehensible the reaction is and how we should on both sides of the aisle be able to say that this is unacceptable, that President Trump's life is under this much threat. I think everybody understands that world leaders like President Trump and President Biden and Kamala Harris, that there are going to be people who want them dead. We know that there mm-hmm. are actors in foreign countries that know, should Donald Trump become the president once again, that their ability to exact their power, like Iran, across the world, it's not going to be like it is right now with Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. They're going to take a much That's harder right. stance. What do you think about the politics, if they're at play at all, in the protection that Donald Trump is getting from the Secret Service through the Biden administration?
Well, you know, it seems like they're playing political games and saying, all right, well, you know, we don't particularly care for Trump, so we're going to give him less protection than we would otherwise. You know, the argument is, well, he's a past president, so he doesn't need that much. From my understanding, and I don't have the exact figures on this, but my understanding is Obama gets more protection than Trump does, and Trump's a former president, just like Obama. Obama's not running for president, Trump is, so it seems like he ought to get more protection. And given that we already had one assassination attempt that actually hit him. Nobody just aimed a gun at him. He actually shot him. And luckily for Trump, he came within about an inch of having a bullet in his head. And luckily, it just grazed his ear. But that's already happened. I think we all thought after that they said, all right, you've been hit once. We're going to increase the security around you. Well, apparently not. That hasn't happened up until Sunday. I hope it's happened now, finally. You know, do we need a third assassination attempt before Trump gets all the full complement of Secret Service agents and all the security procedures and personnel and resources he needs to stay alive? And I would say that if they're Democrats who think, well, we don't care much about Trump, if someone takes him out, whatever. Look, if we start that game and Trump gets killed, I think somebody's going to say, all right, well, that's one for one from our team. Let's get one from your team. And somebody's going to say, all right, we need to take out Kamala. We need to take out Biden. We need to take out Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi. I don't want that to happen at all. I hope these people all stay alive and well and, you know, spend time with their friends and families until they grow old and so on. But, you know, it shouldn't surprise anyone that if Trump gets taken out, somebody somewhere is going to think, you know, we need even the score. So if absolutely for no other reason than their own self-preservation, the Democrats need to get on board with this and lay down the principle that you vote people out of office, you don't kill them, number one, and number two, you protect politicians so they can do what they do, win elections or lose elections safely, and then go about their business. And it's in the interests of people left, middle, and right that this be the case, or we're just going to end up in a Beirut-type situation that nobody wants.
I want to ask you one last question before we let you go, because Donald Trump has to continue his campaign, obviously now continuously in the line of fire. That's what we understand about him, and probably what he's understood about the situation for far longer than we have. What do you want to see from President Trump? We've got not very long left in this election cycle, 48 days until Election Day. People are voting right now. What's the winning message from Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I've said all along, focus on public policy. You know, he ought to talk about, he ought to raise the question every stop he makes, every interview he gives, every TV appearance he does. Are you better off now under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, or were you better off under the presidency of Donald J. Trump? And you look at almost any economic metric. You look at the situation at the border, illegal aliens and illegal alien criminals running across the United States of America, chaos in the Middle East, chaos in Europe with Ukraine and Russia. Things were much better when Trump was president. I mean, I think that's an objective reality. You might not like the Twitter posts and some of the comments he made, but you look at the economy. You look at the situation with immigration. You look at the situation with national security overseas. And I don't think you can say anything other than things are better off when we were all better off when Trump was president. I'd make that point over and over. I would stress Kamala Harris's record. I would talk about the nonsensical nature of her proposals. Gouging, price controls at supermarkets, et cetera. I always ask the question, I'd like to ask Kamala, what is the proper price for a pork chop? Please tell us that, because you can't control the price so you know what the price is. So, Madam Vice President, what is the correct price for a pork chop? I'd ask that question. And then I would talk about my own proposals if I were Trump. He didn't do this in the last debate, and he should have. You know, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security benefits, and now he's talking about restoring the deduction for state and local taxes as well, which I guess he's going to talk about today or tonight in Long Island. And I would talk about those proposals and make sure everybody knows what he's running on, restoring his old tax cuts, stitching up the border, and restoring peace through strength and fighting crime in our streets. And if he talks about that and sticks to that, focuses on that, doesn't get distracted and take the bait when the left tries to get him to talk about all sorts of side issues, I think he can win this election and win comfortably. But he's got to stay at it, work hard, campaign every day. He doesn't seem to be doing quite as many rallies as he did in 2020 or 2016. He ought to be doing 2-3 events a day at least.
Yeah.
And stay at it, stick on the issues, and hammer, hammer, hammer.
Yeah. I mean, if he puts himself out as he did the last time, he's getting shot at. And when you look at the preparation that's going into these rallies with the Secret Service, in some cases, you can't cut any corner. So I kind of wonder if he's pulled back a little bit just for his own safety. But
interesting.
Go ahead.
You could certainly do indoor events. I mean, if you're inside a stadium, you know, they can protect that. Even if you're like at a football stadium where it's open air, but you've got to go through metal detectors to get in, that seems to me like that would be safe. And then certainly one easy way is hold events at airports. I mean, if you're doing stuff where you're inside of an airport hangar with people sort of flowing out onto the tarmac, you can get 10,000-20,000 people out there. And if you're in the middle of an airport, you're in somewhere that's going to be really pretty far from. I mean, airports always have a big perimeter around them, so that would seem just by nature of the way airports work to be a pretty safe situation.
I think
so. You can do things like that.
Yeah.
Open fields with nearby buildings, maybe that's not a good thing to do for a while.
Thank you for being with us, DeRoy. Until next week, Lord knows what
will
happen.
Until next week. Let's hope it stays calm for next week. All right, Annie. Thanks
Talk
very much.
Soon.
Take care. Bye.
You Nationally bye. Syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch. Happy to have him on the show with us. Quick break now, and we're going to come back with Lieutenant Joe Gamaldi. He's a Fraternal Order of Police National Vice President. He's an officer at the Houston Police Department as well, and he's going to talk to us about the Fraternal Order of Police's endorsement of President Trump. Those people who are effectively out there invested in law and order have said Trump's their guy, and he's going to talk to us. We're going to talk to Lieutenant Joe about that when we come back. The YouTube live chat poll: are you paying attention to polls, yes or no? Let us know what you think at the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
With over 377,000 members nationwide, our presidential endorsement process is thorough and inclusive, allowing members in each state to make this selection. Specific questions were posed to both candidates regarding policing in America, and candidate interviews were requested. Our members have spoken, and it is my honor to share with you the overwhelming collective will of our membership. We are honored to have with us today the former and future president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, and offer him our enthusiastic endorsement. During his time in the White House, we had a partner and a leader. Today, Mr. President, we stand with you. We stand with you, and we have your back, and we're committed to work tirelessly for your election.
So there you have it. There you have the clip of the Fraternal Order of Police announcing their endorsement of Donald Trump for president. We welcome onto the show now Lieutenant Joe Gamaldi. He's the Fraternal Order of Police National Vice President. He's also an officer at the Houston Police Department. Lieutenant, thank you for being back with us today. It's good to have you here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on.
There's so many huge issues that are at stake with this choice that voters have with this upcoming presidential election. But crime and law and order is at the top of the list for most people. Why is it that Donald Trump was the selection for the Fraternal Order Police for their endorsement?
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a whole host of issues that are facing our country right now, but all of them start with public safety. We have to make sure that our communities are safe in order for our economies to thrive, in order for schools to thrive, in order for people to feel just safe interacting in their community with their kids. So it starts with public safety. And it's a clear choice that Donald Trump is the only law and order candidate on the ballot. I mean, let me be clear about something. A Kamala Harris presidency with Tim Walz as vice president would be an unmitigated disaster for public safety. But don't take my word for it. Just listen to the things that she has said. She has loudly and proudly supported defunding the police, going as far as praising Mayor Garcetti when he took $150 million from the LAPD, which, by the way, led to historic murder rates and mass resignations and retirements. She actually encouraged people to donate to a bail fund that were getting rioters out of jail. These were people that were throwing bricks at our head during the 2020 riots, and she helped bail them out of jail. I mean, it's insane. And don't even get me started on the border. She wants to abolish ICE. She wants to decriminalize border crossings. I mean, how much more evidence do you need? And keep in mind, crime in America is completely out of control. We have averaged over 20,000 homicides a year over the last 3 years. We haven't seen those numbers since the mid-90s. So you have seen the horrific consequences of these policies. And remember, in her latest interview, and I guess the only interview she's going to do, she said that her beliefs have not changed. She's a radical far-left Democrat, and we cannot afford another 4 years of her.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Joe Grimaldi, the Fraternal Order of Police National Vice President. You mentioned border policy. You're there in Texas. What's it like to wear the uniform under the border policies of the Biden-Harris administration, whether you're in Texas or Michigan or Pennsylvania, Nevada, Georgia, when you go out and do your job? What is it like to do that under these very, very lax come-on-in border policies of the Biden-Harris administration?
Well, it's completely out of control. And as you said, it's not just a Texas problem. This is spreading all across the country. I mean, for God's sakes, we have a community in Colorado, Aurora, that has been completely taken over by Venezuelan gangs. If you look in New York, in Midtown Manhattan, over 70% of arrests are illegal immigrants. In Queens, over 60% are illegal immigrants. And make no mistake, as police officers, we're going to do our job. We're going to catch the criminals and these dirtbags who come over and have no intentions of assimilating into our life and just committing crimes. And don't get me wrong, there's great people that are coming across the border that just want to make a better life. But we're going to catch these criminals and we're going to put them in jail. But here's the thing. Number one, half the time they're not even getting deported in the first place. And when they are deported, because there's an open border, they just come right back over. So there's no, it's as simple as this. If you have a pipe that is leaking in your house, you have to fix the leak. You can't just sit there and keep mopping the floor because you're not going to get anywhere. And with these policies, it has just been a complete failure. Border crossings are through the roof. And if you need any more evidence, I mean, for goodness sake, they released 99 known terrorists on the terrorist watch list back into our country. What more evidence do people need that this has been a disaster on our border?
Very well said. Lieutenant Joe Grimaldi with us right now with the Fraternal Order of Police. There is the human problem, the resources that we don't have to spread even thinner for people who are here, who have come here illegally or been welcomed by the Biden-Harris administration. But also there are other sort of criminal activities that happen with this influx of people who are able to traffic drugs into our country, to traffic people, to traffic children. How real are these other issues that come with these open border policies? What have you seen on the job, and what do Americans not see up front like police officers see every day?
Yeah, I think when people hear about the fentanyl crisis, it's kind of a little bit far away from them if they don't know someone that's been afflicted by it. But let me just tell people, we've had over 100,000 Americans die a year from fentanyl overdose. It is the number one killer of Americans age 18 to 49 in our country. And it has only gotten worse under this administration because of the open border policies. And we are seeing that firsthand on the front lines. We all have Narcan to try to help people that have been overdosed. But you have to stop the flow before we can fix the problems here in our country. And they don't have any plan whatsoever to stop this, although I guess she's trying to get tough on the border now, but I just don't understand why she hasn't been tough for the last 3.5 years that she's been in charge. She's talking about all the things she's going to do on day one. How about you do it now? And I think people need to understand, not only is it drugs that are being trafficked, there's people as well. I mean, there's not an officer that doesn't have a story about human trafficking and kids that have been brought across the border by the cartels, and it just continues to be a problem.
I want to drill down on that, because it's really, to me, the most egregious thing that we know societally. I mean, everybody can talk about the salaciousness of the Epstein story, and there's a lot of intrigue there because of how wild it seems, but it's not like something that we think might be happening. We know that it's happening, and our police officers are being confronted with this every day. And I think that the crime is so heinous, to think about child sex trafficking, it's so heinous that it actually kind of gets pushed off to the side because it's uncomfortable to talk about. Can you tell us what's really going on in our country right now with these children?
No, I mean, it's absolutely horrific. And what I want people to understand is the way the cartels operate is they have multifacets to their business. So drugs are just one part of what they do. Human trafficking is another part. And actually, it's easier for them to traffic people than it is for narcotics, because it's not illegal to have people in a car. So they're constantly smuggling people over the border. And when you see these huge surges that get all the news when all these people are trying to come across the border, what do you think's happening about 50 miles down the road? When Border Patrol is completely overloaded in one section, they're trafficking people and narcotics over the other section. And it happens every single day. The only way to stop it is to close our southern border. And we are not a country if we don't have a secure border. And as you said, we're overwhelmed with our resources. We cannot keep up. And the only solution is to, and listen, is it really that controversial to just say, we need to prioritize taking care of people who are here, who are citizens, who have come here the right way, who are going through the process the right way, over those who refuse to follow our laws and rules?
Yeah, it's not controversial, and we need to be shouting it from the rooftops. We're speaking with Lieutenant Joe Grimaldi. He's the Fraternal Order of Police National Vice President. Obviously, the wide open borders, the invitation to come here from both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris saying, come on in. Their solution to the problem is to streamline the process of bringing people into the country, to add more paper pushing agents to the southern border who are not doing what they are trained to do, but they're doing what the Democrat Party needs them to do. Take all of that stuff and set it aside. We have a crime problem in this country without the border problem being involved. We have a who's the victim and who's the victimizer problem, a right and wrong problem. When you look at the Biden-Harris administration and you look at what Kamala Harris, who will remind you every opportunity she gets about the kind of prosecutor that she was, and as an attorney general, as a senator, now as a vice president, what is her record on calling out people who are committing crimes and making sure they are put in a place where they can no longer take out their criminal activity on innocent people? Does she have a positive record on that?
Yeah, no, she does not. You know, she supports bail reform. She supports the revolving door criminal justice system. As I said, she helped bail rioters out of jail, which, by the way, that fund ended up helping bail out murderers and rapists that would later go on and murder and rape more people. So that's where she stands on crime. And let me just tell you something else that's going on. There is a war on cops that is raging in this country right now, where we don't hear a peep from the Biden-Harris administration about it. I guess they're just too busy handling other issues to talk about the war on cops. We've had over 270 police officers shot this year, Annie. And let me just give you perspective. Back in 2018, we had 237 shot for the whole year. We're already at 270, and we've got 3.5 months to go this year. We are probably going to hit the highest number that we've ever seen in recorded, since we started recording data back in 2018. Shootings of police officers are up 60%. There's one officer shot every 22 hours in this country. And where the hell is the leadership of our country condemning those attacks against law enforcement? A national address saying we will not tolerate this. They're nowhere to be found. So that's where they stand on the war on cops. And yet we have President Trump on the other side loudly and proudly supporting law enforcement, calling for an end to the violence against us. And the other side is nowhere to be found.
Joe, Lieutenant Joe Grimaldi, Fraternal Order of Police, National Vice President. I want to thank you for coming on to the show with us, because we absolutely support our men and women who wear the uniform, and we want them to be respected as they deserve to be respected. And it was exciting to see that endorsement of Donald Trump. Last question before we let you go. What do you want him, should he become the president, what do you hope for him to do as the executive in the Oval Office to make your job safer and maybe simpler to do?
Well, I'll tell you this. In his speech, he said he wanted to not defund us, but overfund us. So we certainly appreciate that, number one. But yeah. I will tell you this. He also made it very clear that we are going to have an ally in the White House once again that we have not had for the last 3.5 years. He made it very clear that he's going to support harsh penalties on those who assault and murder police officers, including the death penalty, including supporting the Protect and Serve Act, which would make it a federal crime to knowingly assault the police officer. But most of all, we're just going to have someone who's actually going to give a national voice and leadership to the fact that we should not be shooting, assaulting, and murdering police officers in this country. We are not some third world country where this should be the acceptable norm.
Well, Donald Trump is the way to go if that's what we want to have happen. Thank you for being with us today, Lieutenant Joe Grimaldi. It's an honor to speak with you, and we hope that we can reconnect with you again soon, especially on the other end of hopefully a Donald Trump victory in November.
For sure. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, you bet. We appreciate you. You can check him out on X at Joe Grimaldi. He is also an officer at the Houston Police Department. We know people who are in the police force personally here. We know people who have family members who are in the police force. I don't know how they do it. It's almost in a way more stressful than if your loved one is serving in the military. That almost seems more confined and more focused than the randomness of a day for a police officer. You never know what you're getting yourself into. And it's a very scary thing to think about. I always think about the families as much as I think about the officers.
It does seem like we honor our military more than we honor our police officers.
And that's a shame.
It is a shame, especially nowadays. I think one of the things that he was stressing there, especially at the end, that I'm like, we need to be saying that more, was stop lowering your standards.
Right.
Like, we in our lifetime remember what it was like to have safer streets and safer neighborhoods. We don't have to accept this now. We are not a third world nation. This is the United States of America.
Yeah, and Annie, to your point, I've got friends that have family members who are police officers and stuff like that, and you never know whenever you're going to get that visit from the department at your door at an odd hour because something happened to your loved one, and they wake up every night. This one particular friend told me a story about police officers coming to his door in the middle of the night, and he said he freaked.
Yeah.
And turns out they were wanting some information, but to worry about your family member every day when they put on that uniform, to not know if they're going to come home or not, that's just something that I don't think people even really stop to consider.
I'm not cut out for that, man. I don't know what my kids are going to do, but I just don't know that I'm cut out for that. And so much mad respect for the families who are dealing with that right now, military or police officers. So incredibly grateful for those who serve and those who love those who serve. That is a tall order. And good to have Joe Grimaldi on here to really drill that down. Let's take a quick break. We got no more guests for the rest of the show, so Ryan, this is where you take over.
All right, we're going to talk more about the silent treatment, and I am going to practice it.
Oh, no, what if we both do it?
Ooh, Brad, take it over.
I got this.
All right, Jesus, you want to take it out? Nope.
He can't hit the button fast enough.
He panicked.
I hit the wrong button. Leave me alone.
That's why I've
never taken us out before.
You know, you can do the silent treatment. You can also be a button pusher.
Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah. You could.
That's super. That's
the wrong button.
No, he wasn't.
That's what you are. This is the wrong button pusher. You want to take us away? You tease the poll.
Okay.
If you say that we're going to talk about something when we come back.
Wait, that doesn't matter.
If you take us out.
You're right.
Then we're going to have to do that.
Okay, well, today's YouTube live chat poll, are you paying attention to polls? Yes or no? Jump on Annie's YouTube page and vote and leave us a comment. We'll be right back.
I'm Annie Fry. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Fry Show. YouTube poll for today. Are you paying attention to polls? Yes or no? What did you tease in your time check? The poll.
I didn't tease that we would be talking about in anything, but I did call people out who vote no in this poll because they're participating in a poll.
Participating in a poll doesn't mean you pay attention to polls.
Well, you'd have to pay attention to this poll to participate in it.
You don't have to pay attention to the poll. You don't have to pay attention to how it
turns out. I think you're
going to
lose this argument.
I don't think I'm going to lose the argument. I don't. That's not,
I think I got you on this one.
I don't think so.
No, I do. I do.
Here's the thing. I don't think I'm going to lose this argument, but I also am not going to put the people of St. Louis through this argument.
Hey, you know what? Me and Brad kind of already hashed it out. So
I got after him.
Brad and I.
Me and Brad and you now all are kind of hashing it out. Is that inappropriate to say?
How many times are you going to say that before you feel like it really, really hits?
You know what? Let's go back to the argument I was winning.
Okay. Which one was that? I wasn't there for that one. Is that why I was out?
No. This is the one about paying attention to a poll in a poll. I think that you have to pay attention to the poll that you're participating in.
Are you paying attention to polls? Indicates multiple polls, not just one. And if you vote in a poll and never follow up on what the results are of that poll, then you didn't pay attention to it.
Mr. Wiggins, 1 minute to respond.
I don't believe that you could ask the question, are you paying attention to poll? Because as you just said, grammar's important. And I'm not sure that you could ask...
You don't seem to agree with that statement, though.
As you... No, hey, mics are muted. Muted mics.
The mics aren't muted. This is my show.
Okay. The Jerry Kelly YouTube live chat poll.
It's not the Jerry. That's not true.
That's right. That's right. I do that every day.
If you would like to sponsor the poll, we could talk about that.
That's right. The time check is sponsored by Jerry Kelly. But if you want to sponsor the poll, the YouTube live chat poll. Hey.
I'm going to end this poll and say, who's better, Ryan or Annie?
That's fine. You can do that.
I'm probably going to lose.
You can do that.
All the people who want to support Ryan, I hear you. I know.
I have a live on the air question for you. How many subscribers do we have right now on YouTube?
Oh, that's a nice question. Can
it's
you
growing.
Give me a heads up on that? Or just can you fill time with something important and exciting? 8,919.
8,919.
Yeah, we need 81 to get to 9,000.
The fun thing about that number is that we were just talking about it last week, and I think it was like 70 to 80, almost 100 less.
It's growing fast.
That's good. That's good news.
Brad had a goal for this year.
Yes, my goal for this year was 10,000 subscribers. So we're closing in on. When I made that goal,
it wasn't really realistic.
It was an unrealistic goal, but I thought, hey, if we can get the ball rolling, maybe this thing will snowball. And it seems to kind of have done that. I mean, I think we were at 5,000 something whenever I made that goal. So 5,000 in a year is
yeah. I'd have to look back and see quite. If there's some sort of video that we have in on the channel that marks a certain event that we did something. Was your dance for 4,000?
The dance that Brad and I did with Hannah?
What is that?
It was
Made You Look. That's right.
Yeah, I'll never forget that song.
If I ever hear that song, I think
this
about
this is a little insider baseball, but Annie and I play Fortnite every now and then. Uh-huh. And on Fortnite, they have emotes uh-huh. that you can make your character do. So uh-huh. I logged on to Fortnite one time uh-huh. after making that video.
Very
and guess,
close to when you made that video.
Yes. And right after that, there was a Made You Look emote gifted to me from one Annie Fry. And you know what? I still use it.
I gave it to you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
See,
I've never spent money on Fortnite for myself.
Mm-mm.
I don't think I've spent money on my kids in Fortnite because you can earn stuff and it's like, mm-hmm. that's what yeah. you get. But I did spend like $35 to give my brother the full Ninja Turtle package or whatever. I think that this is the perfect gift because he would never spend the money on that. But he was pretty excited.
it's an awesome package.
Yeah.
You guys, speaking of gifts, my wife is still struggling over what to get me. She had an idea, but she needed to run it. So my birthday was Monday. She had to run this by
You're
me.
Still talking about this?
Yeah. She had to run this by me.
We got you gifts.
I'm not talking about you guys. You guys did a great job, and I don't want to compare you to her. That would make her feel terrible.
Have you gotten any saucy
got
nuggets?
Me gifts.
Saucy nugs yet?
Last night I did. Yeah. I got some Baconator fries too. No, I got a Frosty and some Baconator fries, and I did not get the saucy nugs. I should have. Mm-hmm. I was right on the verge.
I need a saucy nugs tally by the end of that gift card.
But she's really struggling with what to get me, and she. What about if we just go on a date? And I said, here's the date: Saturday, you and I. Am I racist? That's what we're going to do.
That's what that's what we, my husband and I did for our anniversary.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Good.
So.
You going to go eat first?
Probably.
Where are you going to go?
I don't know. We're talking about this during the show, but probably Andrea's. That's our go-to. We almost don't have to talk about it ahead of time to know.
Almost.
Yeah, we'll probably end up at Andrea's.
Almost don't have to talk about it.
You know what we do? We go and sit in their bar area a lot because you can go have a nice steak dinner and just sit in the normal area.
Where is it located?
Fairview Heights, O'Fallon, Illinois. Very, very easy to get to, but it sits off the road a little bit. That's what's so nice about it is that when you go into the restaurant or into even the parking lot, it's like you've like left the.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You
kind of
normal...
like the pathway that is the driveway is very narrow and you can't actually see it, and then you drive through it. It's like a reveal.
It is. It's I don't know if they intended that, but that is the way that it is.
And then you like go in and there's like a house
on top. Have you guys ever been to Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Seems like a weird segue.
No, Pittsburgh, Idaho.
Well, I've not been there either.
I've only been to Pittsburgh,
Went
Idaho.
To Pittsburgh this weekend. Or this summer, not this weekend.
This weekend, no,
holy cow.
I went to Pittsburgh this summer, and I did not know this. My husband and I had no idea whatsoever. But when you enter Pittsburgh, and we were coming from the airport, you're driving through the mountains, and you go through one of those mountain tunnels, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
And when you come, like, you're in the tunnel. I don't like them. I don't like tunnels.
Oh, I think they're fun.
I don't like mountain tunnels.
I like to roll them down this in my car.
You're driving through. You're fully committed. You can't turn around. There's no off ramp. You're in the mountain.
Yeah.
And you get to the end and it's like, Pittsburgh! Pittsburgh's in the mountains. We're flat people here.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just
flat earthers.
Constantly in awe of non-flat land. That's how committed to this portion of the Midwest I am. And I Googled, I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I like Googled, or I think I was on X and I searched Pittsburgh on there. And somebody had tweeted a video of that. And I'm going to show it to you guys in the break. And it's like the greatest city entrance of all time. And it absolutely is. If you've done that ride, let us know in the YouTube chat. And go vote on the poll that you don't care about. We'll be right back. Fry Show. YouTube poll for today. Are you paying attention to polls? Yes or no? What did you tease in your time check? The poll.
I didn't tease that we would be talking about in anything, but I did call people out who vote no in this poll because they're participating in a poll.
Participating in a poll doesn't mean you pay attention to polls.
Well, you'd have to pay attention to this poll to participate in it.
You don't have to pay attention to the poll. You don't have to pay attention to how it
turns out. I think
you're
going to lose this argument.
I don't think I'm going to lose the argument. I don't. That's not,
I think I got you on this one.
I don't think so.
No, I do. I do.
Here's the thing. I don't think I'm going to lose this argument, but I also am not going to put the people of St. Louis through this argument.
Hey, you know what? Me and Brad kind of already hashed it out. So
I got after him.
Brad and I.
Me and Brad and you now all are kind of hashing it out. Is that inappropriate to say?
How many times are you going to say that before you feel like it really, really hits?
You know what? Let's go back to the argument I was winning.
Okay. Which one was that? I wasn't there for that one. Is that why I was out?
No. This is the one about paying attention to a poll in a poll. I think that you have to pay attention to the poll that you're participating in.
Are you paying attention to polls? Indicates multiple polls, not just one. And if you vote in a poll and never follow up on what the results are of that poll, then you didn't pay attention to it.
Mr. Wiggins, 1 minute to respond.
I don't believe that you could ask the question, are you paying attention to poll? Because as you just said, grammar's important. And I'm not sure that you could ask.
You don't seem to agree with that statement, though.
Hey, mics are muted. Muted mics.
The mics aren't muted. This is my show.
Okay. The Jerry Kelly YouTube live chat poll.
It's not the Jerry. That's not true.
That's right. That's right. I do that every day.
If you would like to sponsor the poll, we could talk about that.
That's right. The time check is sponsored by Jerry Kelly. But if you want to sponsor the poll, the YouTube live chat poll. Hey.
I'm going to end this poll and say, who's better, Ryan or Annie?
That's fine. You can do that.
I'm probably going to lose
You can do that.
All the people who want to support Ryan, I hear you. I know.
I have a live on the air question for you. How many subscribers do we have right now on YouTube?
Oh, that's a nice question. Can
it's
you
growing.
Give me a heads up on that? Or just can you fill time with something important and exciting 8,919. Yeah, we need 81 to get to 9,000.
The fun thing about that number is that we were just talking about it last week, and I think it was like 70 to 80, almost 100 less.
It's growing fast.
That's good. That's good news.
Brad had a goal for this year.
Yes, my goal for this year was 10,000 subscribers. So we're closing in on it. When I made that goal,
it wasn't really realistic.
It was an unrealistic goal, but I thought, hey, if we can get the ball rolling, maybe this thing will snowball. And it seems to kind of have done that. I mean, I think we were at 5,000 something whenever I made that goal. So 5,000 in a year is...
Yeah, I'd have to look back and see if there's some sort of video that we have in on the channel that marks a certain event that we did something. Was your dance for 4,000?
The dance that Brad and I did with Hannah?
What is that?
It was
made
a...
Made You Look. That's right.
Yeah, I'll never forget that song.
Yeah, if I ever hear that song, I think
this
about
this is a little
a
insider baseball, but Annie and I play Fortnite every now and then. Uh-huh. And on Fortnite, they have emotes that you can make your character do. So I logged on to Fortnite one time after making that video.
Close to when you made that video.
Yes. And right after that, there was a Made You Look emote gifted to me from one Annie Fry. And you know what? I still use it.
I gave it to you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
See,
I've never spent money on Fortnite for myself.
Mm-mm.
I don't think I've spent money on my kids in Fortnite because you can earn stuff and it's like that's what you get. But I did spend like $35 to give my brother the full Ninja Turtle package or whatever. I think that this is the perfect gift because he would never spend the money on that. But he was pretty excited.
it's an awesome package.
Yeah.
You guys, speaking of gifts, my wife is still struggling over what to get me. She had an idea, but she needed to run it. So my birthday was Monday. She had to run this by
You're
me.
Still talking about this?
Yeah. She had to run this by me.
We got you gifts.
I'm not talking about you guys. You guys did a great job, and I don't want to compare you to her. That would make her feel terrible.
Have you gotten any saucy
got
nuggets?
Me gifts.
Saucy nugs yet?
I got some Baconator fries too. No, I got a Frosty and some Baconator fries, and I did not get the saucy nugs. I should have. I was right on the verge.
I need a saucy nugs tally by the end of that gift card.
But she's really struggling with what to get me, and she. What about if we just go on a date? And I said, here's the date: Saturday. You and I. Am I racist? That's what we're going to do.
My husband and I did for our anniversary.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Good.
So.
You going to go eat first?
Probably.
Where are you going to go?
I don't know. We're talking about this during the show, but probably Andrea's. that's our go-to. We almost don't have to talk about it ahead of time to know.
Almost.
Yeah, we'll probably end up at Andrea's.
Almost don't have to talk about it.
You know what we do? We go and sit in their bar area a lot because you can go have a nice steak dinner and just sit in the normal area.
Where is it located?
Fairview Heights, O'Fallon, Illinois. Very, very easy to get to. But it sits off the road a little bit. That's what's so nice about it is that when you go into the restaurant or into even the parking lot, it's like you've left the...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You kind of get like the
pathway that is the driveway is very narrow and you can't actually see it. And then you drive through it. It's like a reveal.
It is. It's I don't know if they intended that, but that is the way that it is.
And then you like go in and there's like a house
on top. Have you guys ever been to Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Seems like a weird segue.
No. No, Pittsburgh, Idaho.
Well, I've not been there either.
I've only been to Pittsburgh,
Went
Idaho.
To Pittsburgh this weekend. Or this summer, not this weekend.
This weekend, no, really?
Holy cow.
I went to Pittsburgh this summer, and I did not know this. My husband and I had no idea whatsoever. But when you enter Pittsburgh, and we were coming from the airport, you're driving through the mountains, and you go through one of those mountain tunnels, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
And when you come, like, you're in the tunnel. I don't like them. I don't like tunnels.
Oh, I think they're fun.
I like mountain tunnels.
I like to roll them down this in my car.
You're driving through. You're fully committed. You can't turn around. There's no off ramp. You're in the mountain.
Yeah.
And you get to the end and it's like, Pittsburgh! Pittsburgh's in the mountains. We're flat people here.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just
flat earthers.
Constantly in awe of non-flat land. That's how committed to this portion of the Midwest I am. And I Googled, I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I like Googled, or I think I was on X and I searched Pittsburgh on there. And somebody had tweeted a video of that. And I'm going to show it to you guys in the break. And it's like the greatest city entrance of all time. And it absolutely is. If you've done that ride, let us know in the YouTube chat. And go vote on the poll that you don't care about. We'll be right back.